And Sylvia is going to come and bring our Bible reading to us.
Today's reading is about Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him, and he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that you will bring your word to life by your Spirit. Speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. And Lord, also by your Spirit, help us not just to hear it, but to act on it, to know what you want us to do and to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I once heard of a church who called in a marketing agency to help them to get known within their area. The agency asked them lots of questions about what they did, what they were trying to achieve, and so on. And the church gave as much details as they could. They told the agency about the toddler group. They spoke to them about the youth activities. They told them about the lunch club and numerous other events. But as quickly as the church answered, the agency responded with the name of another organisation that was offering the same kind of care. "But what else do you do?" the agency said. "What do you offer?" As the church reflected on the question, they began to talk about the purpose behind their activities, the way that they revealed the love of Jesus, and the message that could be heard through their meetings of the transformation that Jesus can bring to our lives. Suddenly, the head of the marketing agency looked up at them and smiled. "I've got it," she said. "You can go to all kinds of organisations to find activities. You can go to all different groups where needs are met. You can go to all kinds of books to get advice to try to change your life. But there's one thing that you offer that I don't see anywhere else. You offer hope." Every church is called to offer the hope that can be found in Jesus. Hope that I think is summed up in these verses from Luke's Gospel, which make clear who Jesus is and what his ministry is about. Hope that things not only can change, but will change, because the Lord will save his people. During the next few chapters of Luke's Gospel, there is an underlying question that Luke wants to be addressed. The question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? This account of Jesus in the temple is deliberately placed here by Luke right at the start of Jesus' ministry. And it points us to the answer to that question, and it helps us to see the purpose of Jesus' mission. And through seeing Jesus' mission, we should also discover our mission as followers of Jesus and as part of his church. So in a few moments, we're going to begin to think about that question from Luke about the identity of Jesus. But first, I want to tell you a bit about a film. A film that is my favourite film ever. And the film is The Shawshank Redemption. Who thinks The Shawshank Redemption is the best film ever? Yes. A few others agree. Hands up if you've seen The Shawshank Redemption. If you haven't, I highly recommend it, but I am going to give a spoiler alert. But you still won't work out how it's done. So, for those that haven't, the main character is Andy. Andy ends up in prison with a double life sentence, even though he's been wrongly accused. Now, it would be easy to think that suffering such an injustice might cause him to retaliate and become the kind of person that he's been set up as. But he doesn't. His quiet strength slowly earns him respect and friendship, especially from Red, played by Morgan Freeman. Red is the prison fixer. Now, Andy also becomes popular with wardens and prison guards, and he's driven by his determination to find freedom. In the process of securing his own escape, he also brings hope and transformation to others that are in the prison. Now, in many ways, Andy is a very unlikely hero. Through his time in prison, he causes the downfall of the corrupt prison guards, and he shows a better way to the prisoners, especially to his friend Red. And in many ways, Jesus is an unlikely hero too. If you read on in chapter 4, after Jesus had declared that that scripture had come true, you can see the people in the synagogues were impressed with him. And they asked, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" Isn't it amazing, even after everything they just heard Jesus say, that the scripture had come true as they were listening, they still didn't understand who Jesus is. Isn't he the son of Joseph? Is that who he is? And I think Luke would want us to shout, no, that's not who he is. He's not the son of Joseph. He is the son of God. He is the long-awaited Messiah who has come to bring salvation to the world. In other words, the people should no longer see him as the village carpenter, Mary and Joseph's lad from down the road. They shouldn't even see him as a well-spoken teacher. They needed to see him as the saviour of the world. Now, it's clear from the Gospels that those religious teachers who knew most about the promised saviour also had in their minds a different kind of hero. They were expecting someone to come powerfully, to overthrow the Romans by force, to commend them for obedience to the law, and then to bring others in line with them. And yet here was Jesus, showing love and compassion to those on the edge, welcoming children, speaking with women, going to the houses of sinners, and sometimes even criticizing the teachers of the law. This was not what they expected. And just as some people couldn't see beyond Jesus as Mary and Joseph's son, so others couldn't see beyond their own expectation of what the Messiah should look like. And yet Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus was a radical revolutionary, an unlikely hero, who challenged the way things were done and enabled people to see God's way and experience his transformation. Jesus was strong and dynamic, but he wasn't forceful. Jesus was confident, but he wasn't arrogant. Jesus was compassionate, but not weak. So this morning, I want to ask you a couple of questions to ponder on now and to take with you in the week ahead. how do you see Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? When you think of Jesus, what aspect of his character are you most drawn to? Is it his compassion? His fight for justice? His humility? His welcoming of the outcast? His strength of character? There are times, I think, especially if we've been a Christian a long time, when we can be in danger of becoming over familiar with Jesus. And then we too can make the mistake of not seeing beyond a certain understanding that we have of who Jesus is. So I want to encourage you this morning to rediscover Jesus as your Saviour. And if you can take some time out in the next few days, please try to reflect on all that Jesus did, on all that he said, to bring hope and transformation to our world, but also to each one of us. Why not read on in Luke's Gospel and try and see with fresh eyes how radical Jesus really is, and let him challenge you in your understanding of who he is. Luke tells us that Jesus stood in the temple, unrolled the scroll, and read the words of Isaiah. And the part of Isaiah that Jesus chose was part of Isaiah 61. And he began, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, in the previous chapter, Luke had given an account of the baptism of Jesus, and he described how the Holy Spirit had come down on him like a dove, and a voice had declared, "You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you." Straight after that, at the start of chapter 4, Luke tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days. And it was there that he experienced temptation from the devil. And then in verse 14, Luke says that Jesus returned to Galilee and the power of the Spirit was with him. And it's straight from that we picked up the reading today. And Jesus picked up the scroll and began, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It's only through the power of the Spirit that Jesus could fulfill his mission. And what is that mission? It's a message of hope and transformation to the whole world. For years, this scripture had been read as an event to look forward to, something to bring hope to the people. But now Jesus read it and said, "The time has come. Now I am bringing this to fulfillment." In other words, now is the time that people can find forgiveness. Now is the time that people could find freedom. Now is the time that God had promised for so long that his appointed rescuer would save the people. For those that were listening that day, they would have heard Jesus saying that this would be like the year of Jubilee. Now, the year of Jubilee took place every 50 years when the fields rested and were reinvigorated for future harvests. And in that Jubilee year, debts were forgiven and slaves were set free. But now Jesus was teaching that Jubilee has a different dimension to it. This really is good news. It was good news then, and it's still good news now. Jesus changes lives. Is this your experience of Jesus? And if it is, do you still believe that he can bring more of that transformation to your life and bring hope to others too? Hope is a good thing. Hope is a much needed thing. So I want to take a moment to return to the Shawshank Redemption to see what happens as a result of the hope that Andy offered to his fellow prisoner, Ved. Now, Ved had served his time and he'd been released from prison. But after so many years inside, he wondered if he could really make it as a free man. Isn't it true that sometimes the things that hold us captive actually bring a kind of security to us? We find comfort in what we know. And even though the unknown is a better place to be, and we know that, we find it hard to be released and let go. And that's the place that Red is in. But he remembers a conversation with his old friend Andy to go to a tree in a certain field and look for something. Hope is a good thing. People today need hope. Perhaps today people need hope more than ever. And we know that Jesus can bring them hope. We know that Jesus can bring transformation to their lives in ways that they can't even begin to imagine. The message of Jesus is still the same today, but the way in which the message is shared is perhaps different to the way that it used to be shared. Just as Jesus reached out in unexpected ways, just as his message went to unexpected people, so we have to be ready for God to lead us in unexpected ways and to reach out to unexpected people. We too have a message to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people. But how do we do that? How do we reach out to those who have no concept of who Jesus is? No idea what a difference he can make to their lives. How do we reach out to those who are held captive to sin, to addiction, to materialism, to the lies that culture sells them? How do we enable them to find freedom? How do we bring good news to the poor, both the physically poor and the spiritually poor? As Gavin highlighted earlier in Teams Talk, you can read that the leadership team have been considering which part of our city God is calling us to specifically minister to, and looking at ways we can make connections and build relationships with our neighbours here. Am I right? And the West End community. Yeah, am I right? Because I've got no sense of direction. Beyond the station. We really do want you to pray about this and share with us what God is saying. And we're going to be thinking a little bit more about this in the next couple of weeks as well. But whatever we do, this is a long-term mission. Often people learn about the love and compassion of Jesus better through experiencing love and compassion in action. Gone are the days when you just stand up and announce a new way of living and tell people that this is what they should be doing and expect them to fall in line. If we want people to listen to the good news, we have to show them love. Not as a means to an end to make them listen, but because Jesus told us to show love and compassion. It's as we love others, as we offer them genuine friendship, that we begin to demonstrate his love, even before we begin to talk about it. We can bring hope to others today. We have good news, and we know what a difference it's made to our own lives. And more importantly, this is the mission that Jesus began and the mission that he left us to continue in his name and in the power of his Spirit. So let me encourage you again this morning to consider over the week ahead, how can you continue Jesus' mission? How can you take his message of hope to those who've never heard it? Will you respond to God's call to you to do that today? Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we want to thank you this morning that you sent Jesus to save us. Yes, you sent him to save the world, but you sent him to save us individually because you love us so much. And we thank you for the good news that we have. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have found in you. Thank you for the new life that you brought us. Thank you for opening our eyes to your truths and setting us free. Thank you for starting a work in us that you will continue until it is completed. Thank you for bringing us into your kingdom and into your family. Lord, for those of us who are here this morning that have heard that message and feel we're not quite there yet, Lord, give us the courage to step forward and accept you and to receive that good news for ourselves. Lord, for each of us who has come to know you personally, speak to us and give us a fresh vision of who you are. Help us to see you in your power. Help us to trust you in a new way. And Lord, I pray that you will fill us all afresh with your Spirit. Reveal to us the ways that you want us to bring your message of hope to those that we know and to those that are living and working in the area around our church. Lord, challenge us and inspire us and give us the courage to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.